Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Well, hey everybody, it's Pastor Omar here. And earlier this year, I introduced to us a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. And what Be a Blessing is all about is that we would come alongside different families in our city who are hurting, who are under-resourced, and not only serve them once, but serve them throughout the year at various times. So for example, at the beginning of the school year, we would provide for their children backpacks full of school supplies and also raise money through Caring for Miami to ensure that they're fed through the entire school year. During Thanksgiving, we would come to the same family and bring a Thanksgiving meal so that they can enjoy Thanksgiving just like you and I. During Christmas time, we would also come alongside of them and ensure that their children have gifts so that they can experience the same thing that our children experience and provide any other things that they need during the holiday season. And even into the new year, even up to Easter time, listen, we would come alongside of them, and if there's ever a need, if there's ever a tragedy that ensues, they know that there's a group of people that loves them, prays for them, and is there to support them. And so I want to take the time to update you on where we're at on Be a Blessing. You all ready? All right. So up to this point, you have signed up to minister to 342 different families. Amazing, right? And not only that, but we've been able to raise over $61,000 to ensure through Caring for Miami that they have food through the entire school year. And so listen, if you are a small group that signed up, or maybe an individual family that you signed up for Be a Blessing, thank you so much for rising to the challenge and being part of this amazing initiative. I am so confident that God's gonna use you throughout the year to not only meet their physical needs, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. And by the way, if you signed up, in the next few weeks, you're gonna get an update and all the information of your specific family so that you can begin to reach out to them and begin to form that relationship that will go the entire year. Now, if you're a small group or a family, an individual family that has enough resources to bless another family, but you have not signed up yet, listen, it's not too late. Simply go to cfmiami.org/beablessing, fill out that form, and then we will get in touch with you and get you squared away, all right? Well, in Christ Fellowship, thank you so much for your passion and your love for the Lord. It shows in the way that you rise up to the challenge and that you want to be a blessing to so many families in our city, all right? Love you all.
Hey, amen. Good morning, everyone. Amen, amen. Hey, it's so great to gather as God's people, to sing praises to God, to praise Him for what He has done in your life. Can you give Him another shout of praise? Amen? Amen. Hey, well, welcome everyone. Hey, it's always a joy to worship alongside of you. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And we are continuing a study through the book of Exodus in a series called Set Free. And so if you're joining us today at one of our campuses, listen, we are honored that you've decided to study, to join us and to study with us God's Word. Man, I'm ready to dive into God's Word, and I hope you are as well. And so wherever you find yourself, let's open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and 23, and you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Listen to what God's Word says. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, See that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I've put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I will say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. And listen, if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. In other words, God wanted to set his people free, right? So that they can now experience the blessings of a new relationship with God as their father, amen? That is God's word. You can go into a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And folks, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, 2 years ago, Juneteenth was established as a federal holiday. And it marks a day that on June 19th, 1865, the last group of slaves were freed in Galveston, Texas. And folks, that was an important moment in U.S. history because it really guarantees and marks a day that nobody would ever be enslaved here in the United States, regardless of the color of their skin, their socioeconomic status, or their gender. Every American son and every American daughter could now live a free life. But folks, follow me here for just a moment. Because after that day, there were many people who were set free, began to experience all the blessings of a free life. And folks, they began to be reunited with their long-lost families, with their friends, and they were able to experience all these amazing things. But get this, not only that, but they also now found their purpose, all right, their purpose in this new set-free life. And they began to get jobs. They began to run for political office. They went to school. Many great things were done by people who were set free. Why? Because once they got set free, they found their purpose in this new set free life. But folks, unfortunately, there were also a group of people, get this, that even though they were physically set free, the reality is that they still behaved and acted like they were not set free. In other words, the reason for that is because they had been for so long living in captivity, living in slavery, that once they were set free, they couldn't really transition and begin to live this new set free life. And folks, you could tell who they were. You could tell by the way they carried themselves, by their demeanor, by the way they ate, by the way they socialized, and folks, even the way they slept. And folks, don't miss this, because even though, listen, they had been physically been set free, they never got to experience the fullness of the blessings of being set free. And even more tragic, they never found their purpose in life after they were set free. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because folks, what an example of so many believers in Christ. And by that I mean that just like these people, right, were set free physically but never got to experience the full blessings of being set free and never found their purpose. Listen, just like that, and here's the main idea for today. Folks, there's so many people that God has set free spiritually, that God has set them free from sin, that God has set them free from their past life. Yet, in this new life in Christ, they not only never experienced the full blessings of being in right relationship with God, but even more tragic, they never find their purpose in this new life with Christ. And as a result, so many people, after being set free by the Lord, listen, they just kind of just meander through the Christian life. They just coast through the Christian life. And again, as a result, they never experience the blessings and they never find their purpose. And who knows, maybe right now you're sitting here at one of our campuses, maybe you're watching online, and the reality is you're thinking to yourself, you know what, Omar, like, I came to know Christ a year ago. I came to know the Lord 5, 10, 15 years ago. But if I can be honest with you, I don't think I'm really fully experiencing the blessings of the Christian life, everything that God has for me. And you know, Omar, I feel like I'm just meandering through the Christian life. I've never found my purpose. What is God calling me to do now in this brand new life with the Lord? And so, Omar, what do we need to know as a people of God of why God sets us free and what's our ultimate purpose? But folks, we're gonna find out today from Exodus chapter 4 in the story of Moses confronting Pharaoh, all right? So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 4 at all campuses. And today I have two important thoughts for us about what God desires when he sets us free. Christ Fellowship at all campus, are you ready? Come on, let me hear you, come on. Yeah. Amen. So write this down as point number one. Here we go. This is the first thing we need to know. That is that God sets people free to know him as their heavenly Father. Now folks, listen to what God's word says in Exodus 4. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I've put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, what church?
Son.
Firstborn son. And I said to you, let my what?
Son.
Yeah, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son, Pharaoh. Now, folks, stop right there for a moment and slip into the scene. Because last week we learned that at 80 years old, right, Moses had an encounter with God at that burning bush. And at that juncture in life, God told him, listen, even at an old age, I have a task for you, Moses. So go back to Egypt and set my people free. And so, folks, he makes now his way all the way down to Egypt, the place where he grew up in and he knew very well. So he makes it down there. But, folks, notice the message that God gives to Moses to give to Pharaoh. And he calls Israel his firstborn son. Now, folks, circle the phrase firstborn. Because the word firstborn throughout all of Scripture, even when it's given to Christ in the book of Colossians, the word firstborn does not mean the first ever nation, right? The firstborn. In fact, we know that Israel was not the first nation. But the term firstborn throughout Scripture always refers to preeminence. And so in God's eyes, Israel was preeminent. And not only that, but he calls Israel his firstborn son. Now folks, this is a moment where God begins to introduce to his people a new aspect of his relationship with them. You see, before, God had always revealed himself to the people of Israel as El Shaddai, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord their provider, right? All these different ways, and all those were true, but now God begins to reveal himself. Now, he speaks of the people of Israel as his children. Now, folks, to Pharaoh, this would be an odd statement, and here's why. Because for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians, the gods that they worship, which is really all the forces of nature, for them, there's no way that they had that type of relationship with humans. The only roles that humans played was for them to offer sacrifices to all these deities in order to appease them and to hopefully they would continue to act as a force of nature as they always had. But never would they ever relate to people, humans, as children. And folks, even today, listen, for every religion, no one calls themselves as children of God. For example, if you look at Islam, somebody who is a Muslim person, for them is an abomination to call themselves a child of God, a child of Allah, right? They're people, they're creation, but they're not children of Allah in their minds. It's an abomination. But folks, when you look at God's word, when you look at God's truth, he calls Israel, his people, his son.
And folks, you see, God is here, is desiring to set these people free who are in slavery into a loving relationship with him as the Father of Israel, so that they can experience his love, his affection, his guidance, his provision, all of these wonderful things. And folks, listen carefully. God has not changed. Because even to this day, his desire, right? When you come and you become a child of God and you put your faith in Christ and you start walking with him, listen, there's no distance between us and God. God now brings us and makes us his own children. In fact, this is why in John chapter 1 it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who believed in Christ, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. And so listen, if you're brand new on one of our campuses and you're wondering, what is this all Christianity all about? It's very simple. God wants you to enter into a relationship with him where he becomes your heavenly father and you do life with him. And now you experience all the blessings of having a heavenly father watch over you the rest of your life. Amen? Amen. And listen, for us who are in Christ, who are children of God already, man, I would encourage you that you would stop at times in your life and you treasure the fact that God is your heavenly Father. When you pray and you say, Father, stop and thank God that you can address God as your Father. A Father who loves you. The Father who means well, the Father who will lead you, guide you, protect you, even to the rest of your life. Can we praise our Heavenly Father today for that? Amen? And so, folks, what we see if you read the narrative is that Moses makes his way down to Egypt. He gets reunited with Aaron, his brother, who he had not seen in 40 years. There's no Instagram or FaceTime, right? He had not seen his face in 40 years. And now they get ready to confront Pharaoh. But folks, here's what they're gonna learn. Write this down, letter A. And that is that the enemy will not let God's children go easily. Yeah. Now listen to what it says next. Now afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is this Yahweh you're talking about that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord more, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. And the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. So let me give you an insight, really what's happening here. So you need to understand that the people of Israel were responsible for building many of the cities of the Egyptians. And the way they would do it is by making bricks and then building these huge structures. So the way they would make bricks would be, they would get clay and then they would mix straw into the clay to make the bricks. So for example, that's straw. And then they would get straw and they would make each and every brick intermingled with the clay, and they would look like that. Now the reason they would put straw in the middle of the bricks is so that the bricks will be a little stronger. It'll be stronger than just clay. And so basically they would use this to make stronger bricks. But now Pharaoh, before, he used to get them perfectly cut straw, ready to make the bricks. But now he tells them, you know what? Because of what's happening, now you gotta go out and get your own straw. You gotta start hand breaking all the straw and making it yourself. And it was a lot more burdensome and to make the bricks, and they were supposed to make the same amount of bricks. But folks, then it got worse. Listen to what it says next. It says, so the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will no longer give you straw. Go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather what?
Stubble.
Rocks for straw. So notice, Pharaoh now is intensifying their work, but not even giving them allowed to cut their own straw. And so they have to go out and find rocks or roots, whatever they can mingle into those bricks and still make the same amount of bricks. And folks, here's what's amazing. It's just a few decades ago, archaeologists in the land of Egypt, they found one of the cities that the Hebrew people built. And here's what's cool. In one of the walls, the bottom portion of the wall, get this, had bricks made with perfectly cut straw. The center part of the wall had bricks with obviously handmade straw, like it was not as organized. And the top of the wall was made by bricks with stones and roots intermingled into the bricks. Folks, confirming exactly what Pharaoh had the Hebrew people do. Don't you love when you get a little taste, right, of stuff like that? But folks, you see, the reason Pharaoh was doing all of this to the people of Israel, the Pharaoh was doing this, was ultimately to break their spirit and not want them to go with the Lord. In fact, when Moses went to them, it says that Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their what, church? Because of their broken spirit. See, his goal was to break their spirit to such a degree that they would not want to go with God. And can I tell you, listen carefully, the enemy does not change his tactics throughout even thousands of years. Amen? Because the reality is that even when the enemy, Satan, when he sees God beginning to work in someone's life and there's something that's happening, oftentimes, right, the enemy will start piling on issues and struggles and all these different things in hope to discourage them from following God. See, in their mind, they're thinking, listen, if this is what following God is all about, I don't want to obey God. I don't want to follow the Lord. But listen, if you're going through one of those seasons right now, that maybe you started coming to church and you're starting to kind of follow God, listen carefully, could it be that the enemy's attacking you because he knows the plans that God has for your life? And so my encouragement to you, listen, if you're early on, keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on because God is faithful to do what he accomplished, what he's calling you to do. Amen? And here's why. Write this down as letter B. And that is because God will eventually deliver his children from the enemy's grips. Amen? In fact, listen to what God promises people. He says, say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And listen, just like nothing Pharaoh could do to hold the people of God behind. Listen carefully, even to this day, for those who God is working in their hearts, for those who God has chosen them unto salvation, there is nothing that the enemy could ultimately do to keep his people from being delivered and experience a loving relationship with God. Can we praise God for that today? And here's the thing, once people have been set free and now they're in right relationship with God and now they know God as their heavenly Father. Listen, once they become the child of God, listen carefully, they now have a purpose. And here it is, write this down as big number two. God sets his children free in order to serve him. Now let's go back to the original verse for today and listen carefully to what it says. It says, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my what?
Son.
Yeah, my son go that he may what?
Serve.
Yeah, that he may serve me. See, God's heart is for his people, once he set them free from bondage, to now end this loving relationship with God, with their father, that now that they would begin to serve him in their freedom. In fact, listen carefully. Being set free in order to serve God, it's not a minor theme of the Exodus. It's actually a major theme of the Exodus. You know, next week, we're gonna be covering the plague, so you gotta be back for that, all right? But I wanna just give you a quick glimpse of what God tells Moses to tell Pharaoh every single time that he has an encounter with Pharaoh during the plagues. You ready? Listen to what it says. The first plague, with his water into blood. Moses said, let my people go that they may what?
Serve.
Second plague, let my people go that they may? Fourth plague, let my people go that they may
serve.
Fifth plague, let my people go that they may
serve.
Seventh plague, let my people go that they may
serve.
Eighth plague, listen to what it says. God says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me, Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may
serve.
And folks, even in the ninth plague, right before darkness, Pharaoh called Moses and said, go and what?
Serve the Lord.
Go and serve the Lord. Your little ones may also go with you. So you see, listen, God's desire, the purpose for them to set them free was so that they would now serve him in their freedom. Now, you may be wondering, well, Omar, what are we serving God for? You know, because sometimes they just, you know, it's kind of fuzzy. What are we serving God for? Well, folks, write this down as letter A. God's children serve him in order to further their father's kingdom. Two people agree with that right there. Now, circle the word serve for just a moment in that passage. The word serve there in the original Hebrew text is the word avad. And the word avad simply means it's a term to describe, listen carefully, physical work. Physical work. In fact, oftentimes it's used to describe the physical work that goes in order to further, get this, a kingdom. And so here is what Pharaoh is the clash between God and Pharaoh. Here it is. God's message to Pharaoh essentially was this: Pharaoh, you have my sons and daughters. And you are making them serve you in order to further your sinful kingdom on this earth, but no more. I'm setting them free to be my children, and now they will serve me not to further your sinful kingdom anymore, but they're gonna further my good and righteous kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
And so because it's such a central theme of it, I want to give us the biblical theology behind the kingdom of God. I want us to get a bird's eye view to see how everything kind of makes sense throughout scripture. So first of all, let me just help you understand what the kingdom of God is. And by the way, there's no specific clear definition. There's a lot of different type of ways you can look at it. And theologians have different ways of explaining it. But let me just put it simply for you to grab it, to grasp it in your mind. The kingdom of God is really a place or a moment when God's perfect good and moral will is accomplished, right? And so God's desire is to have his kingdom on earth, his will, his perfect good and moral will to be accomplished. Now, let me just give you the bird's eye view, the biblical theology of God's kingdom on throughout scripture. So travel back with me to Genesis chapter 1, right? In Genesis chapter 1 is where we see the kingdom of God. If we can put the camera just a little higher. There we go, a little higher, there we go. There we go. So back in Genesis 1, we see, right, that we see creation and God establishes his original kingdom on earth and it's perfect, right? It's beautiful, it's good. But then we go to Genesis chapter 3, and in Genesis chapter 3, we see sin happens. Sin comes into the world, Adam and Eve rebel against God, and sin comes and distorts and messes up everything within humanity, and the kingdom of God is lost in that sense. Now, God was not done with humanity, and he promises to reestablish that kingdom, his good rule. So then eventually we come to the first coming of Christ, and what we see there is the kingdom of God inaugurated again. It's starting again, right? That's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, is coming down to this earth. So it's inaugurated at the first coming, and then is then at the end, when in the second coming of Christ, we see the kingdom of God fully established again, or the way the theological term is the consummation of the kingdom of God. It was inaugurated at the first coming, and it's fully established or consummated at the second coming. Now, let me help you understand how Israel fits in this whole thing. So when it comes, when God was liberating Israel out of Egypt, right, it was not only to be in good relationship with God, but to serve God. And God's purpose for Israel during that time is to listen, is to prepare to usher the brand new kingdom that was coming. Make sense? And so listen, they were given the task of building the tabernacle, eventually the temple. The temple is a place where all the people on earth could come to hear and to know the one true God and pray to the one true God. To the people of Israel, they were giving the law of God, the oracles of God, the promises of God. And so their goal in the Old Testament, God calls Israel literally to be the light to the nations. And so their goal, right, Israel was called to serve God, and by doing that, prepare humanity, say, hey, there is a Messiah coming. There is a kingdom coming, right? And they were supposed to be the light to the nations as they serve God. But now, folks, as we go to the New Testament and we see now the church, we see now that the kingdom has already been inaugurated, and now the church's task is to really expand the kingdom of God. And what's amazing is that we are called to serve God now in our freedom, to expand the kingdom of God. And just like he told Israel that there will be a light to the nations, he told us, the Lord told us, you are the light to the what?
World.
To the world. And so as we serve God, we expand the kingdom, and as we wait for the coming of Christ. In fact, I love this verse from 1 Thessalonians, which, by the way, serving God is a major theme in the New Testament, by the way. It's not a minor theme. But listen to what the Apostle Paul tells the church in Thessalonica about why they were saved. Listen to what it says. He tells them, listen, how you turn to God from idols to what, church family?
To serve.
Oh. It says, how you turn to God from idols to what? There you go. To serve the living and true God, and to what?
Wait.
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I love that. He says, you are now to serve as you wait for the coming of Christ again. That a purpose. We have a purpose. And folks, listen carefully. Just like, right, God did not call Israel out of slavery in Egypt just so that they would sit around in the land of Israel, just kind of looking around, you know, planting crops, you know, walking around. No, he called them to serve him. Amen? And folks, in the same way, God has not called the church, the believers, the called out ones, just to come to church for an hour and 15 minutes, sit down in a chair, listen to a message, and then just go about your life like if nothing. No, listen, God has called you, now that he set you free from sin, to serve him and expand his kingdom.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that? Now, you may be wondering, well, Omar, how do we serve God? I mean, it just sounds so ethereal, like, oh, we expand the kingdom by serving. How do you do that? Like, how do you do that? Well, to put it simply, two ways. Write this down as one and two. It's any action, do you serve God, expand the kingdom, through any action that helps people either come to Christ or any action that helps people grow in Christ. You see, the kingdom of God not only grows when we lead people to Christ, but get this, it also grows as we mature the people of God towards more conformity of Christ, amen? Amen. So it's not only when we lead people to Christ, but we also, the kingdom grows as the people of God mature in their relationship with the Lord as well. And listen, folks, there's little moments in your individual personal life where you can serve God and expand the kingdom of God. So for example, every time you have a gospel conversation with that friend, with that coworker, with that neighbor, listen, you are serving God. You're doing something to help people come to Christ, right? When you give a little invite card at Starbucks, at school, at Publix, we have invite cards on the way out, for example. Listen, those little invite cards, it's you're serving God in a sense to hope that person can come, right, and hear about the Lord. And so there's many little ways that you individually can serve God and praise God for that. I want to encourage you, keep doing that. Right? In our individual lives, you should be reflecting Christ. You should be serving God in any way possible. But here's what I want you to understand. The main mechanism where God really expands his kingdom is when the people of God come together, serve each other, build up the body of Christ. And when we do that, God has a way of exponentially multiplying our efforts, right? You know, for example, you can go to a random place and serve and do something individually, but when you go with a group of people from church, it makes a bigger impact, amen? There's something that happens when the people of God come together to build each other up and serve each other, and we start expanding the kingdom of God. So for example, you know, when you go out as a small group, you know, we started the Be a Blessing initiative, right? Which is that we're coming alongside 400 families in our community. And by the way, this upcoming month now, we're gonna get all the names situated so you can start doing this. When you go and you minister to that family throughout the year, listen, you are expanding the kingdom of God. You are ministering and you are helping that person come closer to Christ, amen? When you go out with Karen from Miami, for example, and you go serve out in the brand new mobile market, when you go out in the mobile dental clinic, when you go out to the backpack program, every time that you go out with the people of God to serve, listen, you're expanding the kingdom of God. And folks, even here, when you come to church, right, and you begin to serve the Lord, with every single action, you are expanding the kingdom of God. So for example, when someone sends out by the roads at one of our campuses with a sign that says, God loves you, that person may think, what am I doing out here holding a sign, a cardboard sign? But listen carefully, we've known people who were driving by one of our campuses, discouraged, lost, contemplating suicide. And the moment that they saw that message on that sign, they were reminded, God's not done with you. Amen? And they've come because of that. You know, when you serve in parking ministry, and you see people come in, listen, you don't know what's happening in that car, the struggles in that marriage. You don't know what's going on, but you know what? You get up, you're able to welcome them, help them find a place so that this family could come and get ministered by God's word. Listen, when you come in and you're serving guest services as a greeter, as an usher, listen carefully. There's so many people around this world we forget that have been rejected, that nobody wants, they've given up on them. But listen, the moment you greet them with a smile, with a hug, whatever, listen, it's a reminder of the love and acceptance that there is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Listen, when you serve in children's ministry, let me remind you, you are not babysitting. As you're ministering to these little children, you are helping them understand that there's a God who exists, that there's a God who loves them, that as they grow up, they can depend on this amazing God. And listen, not only that, but you're not only serving them. Who knows, maybe there's a single mom that came in here with three little children, and she's battered by life, but you're able to minister to their children. Why, that single mom could come into a service and receive and be strengthened for the upcoming week, amen? You're serving both of them. So get this, you're leading the little kids to Christ, and the mom is growing in her relationship with the Lord. You know, when you're serving students, listen, middle school and high school on Wednesday nights, listen, we know what they're being taught in schools, that they have evolved, that they have no purpose, that they can live immorally, and there's nothing wrong with that. Listen carefully. You can serve and minister to these middle school and high schoolers, help them understand that there's a God who exists, that they were not evolved, that they have a purpose in life, that God loves them, and that, listen carefully, that they don't have to find their identity in the things of this world, but only in Christ and Christ alone. Listen, when you serve in young adults, and I've told you last week, listen, we need older folks who serve in young adults, ages 18 to 29. This is a group of people in a stage in their life, listen, that they're trying to figure out what's next, what's the right decisions at those critical moments in life. And some of them can easily make the most terrible mistakes, but you're there helping them grow, helping them mature, and advising them and encouraging them. Listen, don't make the same mistake I've seen so many people do. Do this, trust God, and move forward. Can you get an amen to that? Listen, when you serve, for example, in production, listen carefully. You may think that you're not doing anything, but you're doing something great. For example, there's a young lady right now behind that camera. And she might be thinking, I'm not doing anything. I'm just holding a piece of equipment. But listen carefully. What she's doing, she's expanding the kingdom of God. Amen. Because of her serving, listen, you at all campuses, listen, you are receiving the word of God because of this young lady. Yeah. And not only that, people across the world are receiving God's word and hearing the gospel because of the serving of this young lady and so many other production people. Amen? Amen. Listen, when you serve in worship, listen, I told you last week, people come here and they're focused only on their problems, but through your worship, you have a way of poetically helping them sing the truth about God and focus on God instead of focusing on their problems. Amen? Listen, when you serve in security, you have a place you're able to serve so that people could come and worship with peace of mind that they're in a safe place. And listen, when you serve as a small group leader, listen carefully. With every single small group that you lead, small group leader, you're expanding the kingdom of God. Here's why. Because every time that someone comes to your small group, they leave a little more matured than when they came in Christ. Listen carefully. Don't make the mistake of thinking that what you do doesn't matter. Every action, every avad, right? Everything we do, God uses to further his kingdom, amen? And so listen, you were set free. Here's what I want you to understand. You were set free not only to experience the blessings of knowing God, but listen, to serve your loving Heavenly Father and expand the kingdom of God in this city. You know, a good example of that is Blossom Harris. You know, Blossom Harris is a lady who's been serving here the Lord for, get this, 47 years. 47 years. 10 years in kids ministry and 37 years in guest services, loving and greeting people every single weekend. God brought her, she understands that God brought her from a bad place so that now she can serve her loving Father. In fact, take a look at her story.
My name is Blossom Harris. I'm from Jamaica. I got married, and my husband and I and my kids, we migrated to the United States. My husband started to be really aggressive to the extent that he started drinking and abused us. After a while, it was just overwhelming for myself and the kids. He suggested that if I left, I couldn't come back. He would not support the kids, and he would divorce me. I said, okay, I will leave without anything from this home. I'll just take my kids and go because I didn't want them to be abused anymore. I worked at Jackson for 48 years. During my time at Jackson South, I met a friend. I told her my story, and she asked me if I wanted to attend her church. And I said, of course. She brought me with her one Sunday to First Baptist Church of Perrine, which is now Christ Fellowship. I spoke with Pastor Watson, who was the pastor at that time. And I told him my story from where I came to where I am now. And I said, I have nothing, but I want to be plugged in somewhere to serve the Lord. I went to guest services really was because I didn't just want to be in guest services for the fun of it, but I wanted to reach out to people that I could see pain on their faces, that I could pray for them. And maybe they were coming from where I came from, so I could relate to them. I could tell them that there is hope. From children's ministry, from serving in prayer room, to 37 years of guest services. I'm 84 years old, and I don't plan to leave guest services until the Lord takes me home. My desire is to always, always reach others for Jesus, tell them how great He is and where He brought me from to where I am now. It's only His grace. And no matter how hard your life was or how hard your life is, if you just try Him once, you see how great He is and how faithful He is. That's why I like to encourage others that Jesus loves you and all you have to do is serve Him and serve Him in a special way. Just try serving once and you'll see the pleasure and the joy that He brings to your heart.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing Blossom has been for 47 years to people coming in through those doors where she just ministered to them every day, every weekend. And folks, let me just say this. Let me read to you a verse from Galatians chapter 5. Listen to what God's word says. A verse I think is so fitting for today's topic. It says, For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what, church family?
Serve.
But through love, serve each other. You know, sometimes we forget that when we were set free, we think that now the only thing that matters is what's going on in my life and my kingdom, and that God needs to bless my own life, but we cannot use the freedom that God has given us as an opportunity for the flesh, but rather through love, you serve each other. That's what God is calling us to do. And so listen, I want to challenge you. By the way, last week, when I made an opening for people to serve, we had 437 people sign up to begin serving just last week. Amen. And I know that there's some people, maybe you were convicted last week, but you didn't take that step. Maybe you're here for the first time, or you're coming in and you say, you know what, I feel like it's time for me to serve. Listen, I want to encourage you to do that. And listen, our mission here at Christ Fellowship is very simple. It's our official mission is to help you and your family follow Jesus. And one of the ways that we do that is to helping you serve together. And so, man, I want to talk to you for just one moment. Listen, you are the leaders of the home. You are the leaders of your home. And where you go, your family goes. And I love what Joshua said in the Old Testament. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so listen, I want to encourage you as families, especially the men, lead the way in this. Man, step up and just start serving God. Listen, I know that many of us are in different circumstances in life, right? Some of us have young families. I get it. I'm in that stage and it's hard. I get it. Some of us have businesses. We have practices. We have very demanding jobs. I get it. Some of us have a little more free time. Our kids are a little older. Maybe we're retired. Listen, we're all in different stages of life and we can give a certain amount of time in different stages of life. But here's what should not change is that each and every one of us, we should be serving in one way, shape, or form. And so I would encourage you, listen, when you sign up to serve in the ministry, you're not really, I would like to tell you, you're not signing up forever, you know. You're just saying, you know what, I feel like there's a place where God would like me to just to get involved. And when you fill out that form, you'll get more information about the specific ministry. They'll follow up with you and give you more information. Because my desire for us as a church is not that we would just be hearers of the word. Don't be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word and serve the Lord. And like Blossom said, you will see the joy it is in serving your good heavenly Father. Amen. And so here's what we're gonna do at all campus. If you don't mind, go ahead and take out your phones. We did it last week, but I wanna do it like one more time today. Go ahead and take out your phones. I know we all have our phones. Go ahead and take out your phone. And as you're taking out your phone, open up the camera app, all right? Open up the camera app at all campuses and go ahead and scan the QR code right there. And when you put your camera to that, you'll see a little link, okay? And there comes a little form, right, that you can see right behind me, the way you can fill that out. There's some basic information. You can select, hey, I'm interested in doing in this ministry. And when you fill that out, someone from the ministry, from that ministry will follow up with you this week and just give you information. And we'll work with your schedule. We're going to do our best. But we want to help you is equip you to do what God's calling you to do, all right? So I'm going to give you a few moments now, all right? I'm going to come back, wrap us up, and then we're going to worship and we're done. So I'm going to give you a few moments now. And if you feel led, if you feel the Spirit of God leading you, do not ignore it. This is a moment to serve the Lord. Go ahead and scan, and I'll come back to everybody else worship. All right, at all campuses, so let's just go ahead and fill that out. Again, when you fill that, you click submit, you'll get a call from somebody this week, and they'll help you, right? But let me pray for us, and then we're going to stand up and we're going to worship, right? Let me pray. Father, Lord, thank you, O Lord, for your mercy, for setting us free from our sin, so that now we can serve you as our good heavenly Father and further the kingdom of God. Father, my prayer is that we will be a church, that we will not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That we would serve you with all of our hearts until we see that day when you come back for us. I love you, Lord. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. All right, at all campuses, let's stand up together and let's worship God one more time.